There are many, many, many explanations, descriptions, things that are said about Christmas. It's about family. Well, it's actually not about family. It's about celebrating with lots of party things. You know, I took a nativity scene to a nursing home where my parents are. My mum and dad were wanting a nativity scene in this nursing home, and they have provided this nativity scene, actually beautiful. And the lifestyle coordinator was so excited. He was just caught up with this. But then there was another person in the place came along and said, oh, I think we need to tinsel it up with all sorts of things. And I said, no, you don't need to do that. It was so simple. It was actually a very humble place where God came in the person of his son Jesus. No tinsel. And sometimes we try and make Christmas into something it isn't. Because Christmas is extremely serious. It's about dealing with a serious issue on earth. Sos, could you go back to the photo of the garden that's been overgrown? And you see, this is the state of the world we're living in. It has become sin abounding, and weeds are growing like they're just producing more and more seed and spreading. And Jesus came into that world. I've been reflecting on the situation of the people of God in Israel at the time of the birth of Jesus. They were facing such oppression. I know. When I came in, Grace was feeling it this morning. The challenges of the world we're living in. There is such oppression. But it was worse when Jesus was born. Caesar Augustus and the Roman rulers were ruthless, wicked. There was homosexuality and sexual immorality all through the Roman Empire. It was absolutely rife. In the highest places. And they were taxing the population so heavily. That's why Christmas was in Bethlehem, actually. There was a taxation. Another taxation. Why? Because they were doing massive projects. Roads were being built across the world. Suburban rail loops and other things. Making a name for themselves. Like Babel. And it was oppressive. Anyone who rebelled against this regime was hung on a cross and crucified. They had rows of people on crosses beside roads. We haven't got that yet, have we? It was oppressive. And not only that, but the ruler of Israel, King Herod, was just an evil person. Jesus didn't come into a tinsel, did he? He came into the garden next door. He came into a world saturated with sin. In fact, there was no other human being who wasn't saturated with sin. Mary and Joseph, they're not perfect people. They're people like you and me, sinners. I often think that's why Joseph so responded when he heard that this child was going to save his people from their sins, because he knew he was a sinner. well, into this sad, depressing, heavy atmosphere of darkness. And it was dark. 400 years of not hearing a fresh word from God. That's a long time. That's a long wait. Suddenly, God broke through. Suddenly, Zechariah goes up to the temple, and suddenly from heaven, an angel comes down. God begins to take the field. And then an angel appears to Mary, and then to Joseph. Words of life are given to a man in Jerusalem who is going up to the temple with an older woman, desperate for some salvation to come. And words are given to him. You're going to see my salvation before you die. Before you leave this earth, you will see my salvation. God breaking through from heaven. If you haven't read Bear Grylls' latest book, The Greatest Story Ever Told, it's the bestseller at the moment, I encourage you to read it. He has got the most beautiful description of Mary taking Jesus up to the temple to be, for the 40-day ceremony of cleansing of this child. And her expectation as she walks from Bethlehem to Jerusalem with Joseph and these young couple with their firstborn, and they know he's God, Son of God. They go thinking the priests are going to respond. When they present Jesus before the priests will just be worshipping. And they get into the line of everyone. The priests are just doing all this stuff to them and hand him on. And next. What? She's devastated. They didn't even recognize him. And as she's taking him out in a confused state, suddenly a man jumps out of the crowd and grabs the baby. And she, now my eyes have seen your salvation. She, what? Simeon was alert to God. Are you alert to God? Are you seeing what God is doing today? You know, the only thing that hinders our being alert to God is failing to deal with our sin, because it separates us from God. So are you alert? Simeon caught up. Well, this event was promised in the Garden of Eden. We read Genesis 3 this morning. It's the description of the first sin of man. And God, as he judges the man, the woman, and the serpent, he tells the serpent that Jesus is coming. He says, the seed of the woman is going to crush your head. And here it is. Here is this child who's going to crush the head of the serpent. Who's going to set you and me free from being ruled by evil and corruption. Who's going to release us to be in connection with his Father. Who's going to restore Eden to us. That's what he's come to do. Christmas is the restoration of Eden. It's bringing us back to what God intended us to be in the beginning. When God created us, he made us to be like him in every way. That means we were created to be full of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faith and self-control. That's the way we were created to be. When you're in the traffic, and someone beeps in front of you, is there self-control? Is there peace? Is there rest? How are you going? As the world is pressing in on you, as, when I had a grandchild to be handling during the week. We're all sinners. Grandchildren are just sinners like me, and my five children, they were all sinners too. I've just forgotten what it was like to raise children, haven't I? And you get frustrated. Where's the sin? It's in your heart. Because there's not love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control. You've got to deal with your own sin. It's a lot easier when the other person knows that you're dealing with yours to deal with theirs. We were meant to be like Jesus. That's it. You and I were created to be like Jesus in every way, with no sin. The problem the world is facing is not climate change. It's not economic instability. It's not overpopulation or globalization. It's sin. That's the problem. It's very simple, it's very straightforward, and Jesus comes to deal with it. It's sin. We are facing the impending judgment of God, actually. It's just hovering over us, because if, as Billy Graham's wife said, if God doesn't judge America, he'll have to apologise to Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, the same is true for Australia, unless we repent. Unless we repent. You know, there is no forgiveness without repentance. You can't go on grumbling, go on exercising criticism of people and holding on to the corruption of your heart. No, you have to repent. Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. Change me. Fill me with your spirit, Lord. And let restore me. That's why Jesus has come. We are facing this judgment. And the devil, Satan, does not want people to get free of their sin. That's why he's making laws to make it impossible for you to say, well, actually it's sin. Because the devil wants to keep people captured in their sin, holding them there in depression, all kinds of states of self-pity and all of this. Satan wants to hold you there. All you have to do is confess it. All you have to do is humble yourself to Jesus, and he will set you free, absolutely free, from every corruption of your heart or life. That's why he's come. That's why Christmas is here. That's why Simeon holds this baby in his arms and says, now I can depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Well, why did we have the reading of the story of the wedding of Cana in Galilee? Because this story is about the Lord's Supper. The wedding of Cana in Galilee is the story about the Lord's Supper. I hope you'll see that clearly as I share it with you. You see, Jesus is invited to a wedding of Cana in Galilee. And he goes to a wedding. What's it like to go to a wedding? There's an excitement, isn't there? There's a joy. We look forward, Andrew, perhaps there'll be a wedding. And the joy of this coming together. But Jesus is there at this wedding, knowing that he was in the garden with the Father and the Holy Spirit, creating man, male and female, in the beginning, to be just like God. And he knows that what this wedding is going to end up in is not like God, because of sin in the human heart. And he's pondering there as he sees this man and woman come together. This is what my Father and I created in the beginning, to be perfectly one, to be perfectly flowing in love, to be unhindered by any corruption of any kind. And he's earnestly, what's he looking to? Why has he come? He's come to restore Eden. He's come to make our marriages like they were in the beginning. He's come to release us in such fullness of love towards each other that there would be no corruption. That's why he's come. And the wine runs out at the wedding. Providentially, of course, God knew exactly what he was doing at this wedding. The wine ran out. It's a symbol of the blessing disappearing, evaporating. And Jesus' mother comes to him and says, they have no wine. And why does Jesus now say, listen to his words, why does he respond so abruptly to his mother? Because his heart is set on the cross of Jesus. His heart is fixed on that cross to restore this relationship. My hour has not yet come. My hour has not yet come. I want to restore this couple. I know the wine is going to run out. I know their love is going to fail them because they don't have it without me pouring my love into them. They're going to try and love each other. They're going to come forth with all sorts of ideas of what love is. But it's corrupted by sin. And only God's love is sufficient to restore man to be as he was intended to be. And that love is without sin. As Paul says, the aim of all Christianity is this love that flows out of a pure heart. And you know yourself, if you're a Christian, you know when love is not flowing, because you know something has corrupted the heart. You know when you're not flowing to your wife or your husband. You know something has corrupted your heart. You know in your fellowship with one another, when love is not flowing, it is not released because something is corrupting the heart. Sin that needs to be confessed and washed away, and for that love to flow powerfully. One of our elders who's gone to be with Jesus would tell us that this morning. That when you deal, even with what looks like a little thing, it's actually not little to God. It cost the life of his son. When you deal with it, love flows powerfully. And here is Jesus at this wedding in Cana of Galilee. Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. But his mother knows. She is not offended by his rebuke. She senses in his heart he is looking to do something way more than what could be anticipated by the people at this wedding. For she says to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Now, friends, if you want the love of God to flow out of your heart, if you want to be released with rivers of living water, you need to do whatever Jesus tells you. Whatever he says. Maybe it's to give up all that you have and go to another land. Because when you do, You're going to see him come into action in ways way beyond what you could do. Supernatural love is what we're talking about today. It's heavenly love poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, and it only comes when we do what Jesus says. Six stone jars were there for the Jewish rites of purification. They're all very specific here, what Jesus is going to tell them. These stone jars carrying maybe between 450 and 680 litres of purifying water to wash and cleanse ritually people. Jesus goes and says to them, fill those jars there with water. There is a lot of cleansing needed here. A lot of purification is needed. That's what he's saying. And then he says, now take some out and take it to the steward of the feast. And they take it out and bring it, and it's been turned into the fruit of the vine. Pointing to what? The Lord's table is before you, friends, today. The Lord's table is before you to cleanse you and me from sin. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. O Lamb of God, I come. You know, so often we're seeing other people's sin and we don't see our own. Jesus tells us, stop looking at other people's sin, just deal with your own. Because when you do, his love is going to flow out of you like a river of living water. That's what's going to happen. I often tell couples when they get married, what's the most important thing you need to know for your marriage to be healthy? Oh, love, yes. Well, we're talking about it now. You need to forgive each other, because you're going to sin and she's going to sin. You are not perfect. You're going to be tempted. You're going to fall down. You're going to need to humble yourself and say, I'm sorry. I got it wrong. This wedding at Cana of Galilee, up to 680 litres of purification is there for a wedding. And it's there for marriage. Of course, it's there for all our relationships. The whole of Christianity, as I said before, is about love. And love flows out of a pure heart, as Paul said, a good conscience and sincere faith. And love does not flow when there's corruption in the heart. We can say all the right words. You can give everything away and do all sorts of good things outwardly. But when there's jealousy, criticism, grumbling, self-pity, impurity, indulgences of the flesh, disobedience, failing to submit to God and his word, anxiety, fear, unbelief, it's all sin. And it all humbles us to see who we really are. Apart from me, said Jesus, you can do nothing. My time has not yet come. What time was this that Jesus is thinking of? Why does John tell us that this was the first of the miraculous signs that Jesus performed. It's not just a miracle. This is a sign. A sign points to something. It points to the cross. Could you put the cross up, please? It points to the cross. It points to the point of greatest love ever expressed toward us, that Jesus died for our sins. Joseph, you must take this woman to be your wife, for you shall call this little child Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That's what we need to be saved from our sins. And anything that is not exactly like Jesus is sin. It's all because of the cross. And Jesus there, having been in the Garden of Eden, having put together the man and the woman with his Father and the Holy Spirit, is now pondering the restoration of what was created in the beginning. He's looking to the cross. He's pointing to this table. Remember me. This is my body broken for you. This is my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. And John tells us at the very beginning of the gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Jesus was with God in the beginning in the garden. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Marriage was made. Human beings were made. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Christians, in these dark times leading up to the return of Jesus, should be shining like lights in the darkness of the world, full of his Spirit. That's why he's come. And there was a man sent from God, his name was John, not John the Apostle, John the Baptist. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. And this morning, you have a choice. Will you receive Jesus? Will you come to Jesus humbly, truly receive him? Because John says this, but to all who did receive him, who did acknowledge it was their sin he died for on that cross, it was their sin that needs to be forgiven and cleansed and washed clean, who believed in his name, Yeshua, Jesus, will save his people from their sins. All who received him and believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, not born of a sinner like me, but children of a Father in heaven who is perfect and pure. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but born of God. This is why Jesus came, to restore us to Eden, to be like God, as we were intended to be in the beginning. Let us pray.